could you give us a little overview of the latest developments in this case? How did the George Pell decision get overturned?
Okay, look, there are a couple of really important things that arise out of a case which, in a sense, don't have anything to do with the fact that it was George Pell or the fact of the high profile of the case. One of them was that the High Court substituted an acquittal in what are, in fact, quite limited and peculiar circumstances for appeal courts. Appeal courts ordinarily look at questions of law. So they look at the admissibility of evidence. They look at the instructions to the jury potentially being flawed. And it's very, very rare for an appellate court to consider what, in effect, is findings of fact. There's a very narrow legal window for them to do that, and that's the ground of appeal which was taken by George Pell, and that is that the verdict was unreasonable. What I think is perplexing to non-lawyers is that in coming to the conclusion that the High Court did, it accepted, in effect, that all 12 members of the jury must have believed Jay's account. Otherwise, they couldn't have found him guilty. But nevertheless, when they looked at the evidence, they came to the conclusion that even though the jury believed Jay's evidence as to what happened in St. Patrick's in 1996, there was still reasonable doubt. And therefore, not only was it possible, but it was necessary to acquit George Pell. That, to non-lawyers, and particularly to, I suspect, other people who have or claim to have been abused, not by George, but by anyone else, are going to lose a certain amount of faith that they are going to be listened to, that they are going to be believed. And ultimately, even if they're believed, that the people who are responsible will be brought to justice.
I mean, in your opinion, does this one, as you say there, sort of undermine faith in the legal system for non-lawyers and the like, or does it demonstrate the legal system is more complex than people understand?
Oh, look, I think if nothing else, it demonstrates that the legal system, particularly once you get into appellate courts, is extraordinarily complex. It's far more complex, I think, than non-lawyers, and I think many lawyers quite comprehend.
The High Court stated that the Court of Appeals failed to question if the offence happened in their analysis of the evidence. Does this decision mean the same as stating the events didn't occur as presented to the court originally?
Well, no, actually, that's one of the, I think, crucial things that comes out of the case, and that is that an acquittal was entered, certainly, but that's, I mean, if you ask the question, what does the High Court decision say about what happened in St. Patrick's Cathedral in 1996, the short answer to that really is nothing definitive. The highest the court put it in its judgment was that there was a significant possibility that an innocent person had been convicted. They didn't say, for example, that an innocent person had been convicted. And in fact, that's not a question which the High Court is actually trying to solve. I recently did a successful appeal in a case called Coughlin and the Queen on the same ground of review. And it's peculiar as a lawyer that when you start putting the case together, the last thing on your mind is whether or not the person committed the offence, because that's not the question that you're trying to answer, and that's not what you are trying to convince the appellate court about. You're trying to point out or trying to prove that there was an insufficiency of evidence. Now, interestingly, that goes back to one of the other very important things about the Pell case, and that is it's very typical of what we generally refer to as historical sex abuse offences. Because they are remote in time, because they don't have what lawyers tend to call fresh complaint, the whole development of the evidence on both sides, to be fair, is hampered by the delay. Where you have a fresh complaint, ordinarily you'll have a contemporaneous investigation, the sorts of evidence which would ordinarily bolster the prosecution case or weaken the prosecution case, physical evidence, medical evidence from a examination of the complainant, DNA trace evidence, all of those things which we're used to or we imagine bolster a case or a prosecution or detract from a prosecution are just simply not available. And most historical sex offence cases come down to he said, she said, or he said, he said. There's very rarely any direct corroboration. And so in many cases it comes down to there are two competing narratives, and a lot of it then depends on the credibility or the how a jury looks at the evidence and assesses the credibility of the person who's making the complaint. And as I said, in relation to this particular case, 12 members of the jury unanimously must have believed Jay's account, and two of the judges of appeal in the Victorian Court of Appeal described him as a witness of truth, as a compelling witness. So that, I think, is where so much of the angst is developing around the case.
And just as perhaps a final point there, Mark, it's known that Pell could face further legal action for other offences related to the Royal Commission on Child Sex Abuse. Given the attention that this case commanded, the media attention that this case commanded, is that likely to come into play in any further legal matters we might see?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the Victorian DPP, there are, as I understand it, certainly from the ABC program the other day, there are other people who are making allegations. Whether or not they materialise as prosecutions is obviously a matter for the Victorian DPP. And you have to wonder that having been through this experience, they might be a little gun-shy in terms of mounting prosecutions, further prosecutions in the criminal jurisdiction against George Pell. There are also, as again, I understand it, I don't have any direct knowledge, but there are civil actions, not necessarily relating to sexual abuse, but by covering up instances of sexual abuse which were known to George Pell at a time when he had presumably some power to investigate and do something about them and failed to do so. How they play out in the future is, as I guess in one sense, anybody's guess. But an important thing, I think, about civil actions as opposed to criminal actions, civil actions are determined on the balance of probability, so that the standard of proof is considerably lower. And you find, I mean, the classic case of this was the O.J. Simpson trial in the United States, where he was acquitted in criminal proceedings because the standard of proof was beyond reasonable doubt. But he was found guilty in civil proceedings for wrongful death, where the burden and standard of proof is merely beyond, it's on the balance of probabilities.